Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Warm up your home this winter with this season's new cosy bedding. In store and online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Text number 51551, joe at rte.ie. If you want to get in touch with us quickly from anywhere in the world, and 0818 715 815. Obviously, we're talking about the election. It was 3 weeks ago last Friday, November the 8th, around 1:37, just before our Liveline came on air, when then Taoiseach and current Taoiseach, Simon Harris, said he was travelling to Áras an Uachtaráin to ask the President to dissolve the Dáil, and that the election would be 3 weeks hence, which was November 29th. Now, what I remember about that day is two. One, that the media calls we were getting were from carers, and it kept going for a number of weeks after that. And it was about the means test for carers, and also the taxation. If you happen to get a pension, your old age pension, and you were a carer, you immediately lost half your carer's allowance. And that was a big issue. But the other issue on the day, which surprised me a little bit, was people complaining about that they didn't have a postal vote. And they said the short notice, and it was the required notice. Sometimes there is longer speculation, but there was the required notice. And of course, a number of them said Micheál and Simon were both saying the weeks beforehand February looked better. You know all the arguments. And it was only when Roderick O'Gorman, 3 weeks before that Friday, and I said it here again that day, 6 weeks ago last Friday, he said it was going to be on November 29th, but it wasn't within his gift, but he was fairly close to it, him being a member of the cabinet. Number of people about postal votes, number of people complained that they were in hospital and didn't have time to get a register or whatever for a vote. A number of people talking about nursing homes, and they were, some of them surprised me, they were unaware that a nursing home can apply to actually be a polling station for all their residents to vote. It's normally done a day or two beforehand, but if the nursing homes apply, and there's a lot of them, and I just wonder how many nursing homes did apply. This is in relation to the turnout. And despite the fact that the Electoral Commission spent €500,000 each week for the 3 weeks on advertising, billboards, radio, television, saying your vote is your voice. As I said, it looks like about 4 out of every 10 people got laryngitis on Friday and what would have made a difference? Let me go to Declan Alcock. Declan's in Carlow. Joe at rt.ie. Okay, why?
Hi.
Any idea why? Going? Why was such? By the way, the turnout and the turnout, Declan, just for listeners, the turnout in 2011 was 70%. It was 60%, 59%.
When I heard that being spoken about earlier, I was a bit surprised that, and you know, I was actually in the car listening to you when the day of the election was actually called, and I remember the discussions about the whole carer and family carers and people that need home care and all this. But like when I went over to vote myself here, and I remember speaking to a couple of the staff. And I remember it just struck me that, you know, she said, the two of them said to me, like, you know, we're here since 6:30 this morning and we'll most likely be here till about 10:30 tonight.
Of course, yeah.
And, you know, and I didn't see any big flow of like, there was people coming and going, but I didn't see any big thing about it. And I, like, what I felt was that, and I'm saying this kind of for years, like, there, first of all, if a person really wants to go and vote, there's very little excuse that they can't, unless a person becomes ill or is in hospital or whatever. And you'll be surprised, like, not just here where I am in Carlow, but in other parts of the country where you have a polling booth and you have people literally living on the same road, the same street, and would pass up and down several times that day and don't bother going in. Now, you know, I remember, Joe, when I turned 18, and I'm sure you were the same when your college days and all this type of thing. I was actually very excited about being able to go down and vote.
Absolutely.
I still remember the first time I went down to vote. And I just, at that age and the thrill of going over, and we didn't have the same internet or anything that we have today. And, but like, first of all, even the register thing, there should be no issue nowadays with the register. Everyone today now has a PPS number, so everyone should automatically I believe, beyond the electoral register.
Yeah,
and then when the person and when the person turns 18, it's up to them to see what address they're still on, use the address they were born in, but it's up to them to clarify that after. But I really believe if a person really wants to go out and vote, and what strikes me is you're talking about 60% on average in the country. I mean, can you imagine another 2 or 3% went out that didn't go and voted and completely for someone else? We could be having a totally different discussion about government formation here today.
In Dublin,
Dublin,
South Central, the turnout was below 50%, believe it or not. 60%, below 50%. But Declan, just give me one, I don't care where you plucked this from for the time being. Give me one reason why you think people didn't vote. 4 out of every 10 people.
Just give me one reason.
Apathy, the weather, Friday, boring.
But I think the spark of this election never took off.
Okay.
I think was it just that people felt it does. It's just more the same. It's just
okay.
About numbers.
Okay, that's a good. You've given me a start. Yeah. Okay, spark.
But I heard people on RTE and that in the middle of the election and the middle of the week saying didn't have anything to talk about. And one reporter from RTE was saying, "Well, now look, we'll have an opinion." This was on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, and he said we'll have an opinion poll at the weekend, and like. That'll give us something to talk about. It's like as if there was something, the spark or something just never ignited when the day Simon Harris went to Arsene Ugrand, and it just never seemed to have taken off. And I just feel, people feel, it's just the same and it's numbers and all this. That's just something I feel. No spark.
Okay. Eugene, stay with us. 0818-715-815-51551. Text Eugene Murphy. Give me one reason why. Did you vote on Friday?
For the first time in my life, I did not.
Okay. Give me one, if you don't have to, but can you begin with one reason and then we'll expand?
Disillusionment with the grip on practical reality of more or less all parties.
So, we had a leaders' debate with 10 people.
We did.
And with 10 party leaders. And you say there was not one of them. We've never had as much choice.
I think I couch my terms in the... Look, we have two existential crises facing us. We have the climate. We can put that aside. But the square root of all the other issues in this country is housing. Housing. Hand on heart, could not vote for Fine Gael. I don't think I need to say more about their track record. Traditionally, I would have voted for Fianna Fáil. I'm very lucky in that our local representative was Michael, it's now Seamus McGrath.
Yeah, his brother, Michael has gone to. Yeah, and the
great
other
constituency workers.
And the Taoiseach is your other, the other Fianna Fáil representative.
Exactly, but their housing plans are deluded, to be honest with you. Basically hard baking in that, you know, things will not become more available or affordable, and their track records on the promises they made in 2019 about regulating Airbnb.
So what do you think they should do about housing then? I heard this phrase a lot during the debate. Oh, we need a radical reboot. What does that mean? What does that look like?
I think it means looking at demand versus supply.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But where do we get to have a radical reboot? You tell me. I don't know about you, I don't mean to be glib. I cannot put a nail in a wall. We need workers. We need construction workers. Or we need to build factories on the M50 that build these incredible modular houses that are all wired, first fixing, second fixing. They go out on the back of a truck to a prepped site and they're keyed in, electriced in, plumbed in, the whole shebang, all the services. Like, would that be a radical reboot? If we built three of those factories around the country and got going like Henry Ford on a conveyor belt and we put someone specifically in charge of them, what's a radical reboot look like?
A radical reboot, and there are fantastic people who can address the how, which you have just given a fine example of. I'll name one, and that's Rob Cass. He's active online. He's fantastic about explaining that we can reach our capacity. However, our targets don't reflect demand. Right now, there's around 500,000 young people stuck at home versus the EU average. We really need to be building a town around the size of Galway every year.
Well,
David Williams has said the same thing, around 90 to 95,000.
But how? You're saying a course on all your no houses. But how do we? I'm saying in the 10 parties that were in that leaders' debate, 10 political parties. We've never seen anything like it. You wouldn't see it in the UK. 10 party leaders in one debate. You're saying not one of them has any ideas on how to that would appeal to you, and how to try and get to grips with this housing emergency, which it is.
I think a lot of them have great ideas, but you can only manage what you measure, and if our measurement target is too low, it's a futile exercise. So I saw a lot of claims being made. We're going to, Katie Hannan said a great thing on the late debate when she was on the late debate. And she said, how can the government promise investors increased yields, but young people more affordable housing? And what I saw from all the political parties was promises to young people while not reflecting the demand-supply imbalance, which would make following through on those promises utterly impossible.
Okay. And I think, Eugene, I know you didn't vote, but if Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, and I know you have to nuance everything, they did win the election. And talking about carers, I already heard two regional independents on different stations this morning saying their bottom line was the carers mean test allowance. The government will, the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael will easily concede that. So they're over the margin already for the majority in the new 176 member Dáil. They get two, they'll get more than two. So are you saying that if Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael between them had lost more, now Fianna Fáil gained, but if they had lost more, it would be because of housing and they got away lucky?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Okay. 100%. Well, maybe they learned that lesson. Paul Doran, Paul, good afternoon. I'll go back to you, Eugene. Joe at rt.ie. Why didn't people vote?
Hi, Joe. Sorry for my voice because I have a very bad cough. But why didn't they vote? Well, I'm involved in politics.
I know that. Yeah, I know your name.
I've been on your show a few times.
And so, you're a regular. And great. You're a great contributor to public debate.
I was very active in the Clare Daily campaign this time around. And I was up there in the East Wall. I was all around the city. Actually, it was great. It was quite interesting because they're just good, honest, decent people. But when I was canvassing years ago for Sinn Féin in Clondalkin, up in North Clondalkin, there was an awful lot of people there who didn't vote.
Yeah.
And the reason they didn't vote was they didn't understand the power of that vote. Now, they're marginalised. A lot of those people are marginalised and poor. That's the background where I come from when I was brought up in County Down. They don't realise the power of that vote. And it doesn't suit Joe, Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil or any state party that's controlling power to do anything about that, because those people, let's be very honest and be very frank about it.
Everyone's going to be honest and frank. We have on Commission Towercan set up 2 years ago by Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Greens. They've an incredible budget. They were spent. Yeah. If anyone didn't see the posters, the TV ads, the radio ad, the newspapers in the last few weeks. And I know for a fact that the Commission and Towercan actually have actively, because I know one of the groups involved, have actively gone to groups that you specify there to try and encourage them to vote. Now, that's paid for the state. So I don't think we'll go down the road that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are having meetings to see
I disagree with you entirely. Okay. I'm doing this.
It's in the interest of the state for people not to vote.
It is for people not to vote. That's not what I said. I said the poor don't vote the marginalised and poor don't vote, Joe, because they don't feel that vote is going to change anything in their lives. If they understood that they, by voting, what that power would do, then they would vote. I remember decades ago, my sister, she didn't make her final profession, but she was in the Little Sisters of the Assumption, and she worked in Mayfield, Moy Ross, and in Cork Street.
Yeah.
And she told me, One of their main aspects of their work at that time, would you believe, Joe, was going into the very poor communities where they lived and bred.
I'm not going to labour. You think it's because the government deliberately, like I heard one candidate yesterday say, the government deliberately got Jerry Hutch, the criminal, to stand.
That's crap.
But anyway, what would be the most affluent, insofar as, would Dublin Bay South be a fairly affluent community in your eyes, Paul? Dunleary, Baldbridge. Okay, you know what? The turnout in Dublin Bay South.
In college at the moment.
The turnout in Dublin Bay South was 47%. So it's little to do now with poverty, I suspect, in that sense.
Just remind me who got elected.
James Gagan, Ivana Bacic, Jim O'Callaghan, and Owen Hayes of the Social Democrats. I'll come back to you in a sec, but I think that explains
why they don't vote, Joe. Because, do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Those people who hang on.
Why they don't vote?
They're not representing.
They had Hazel Chu as a candidate. They had Kate O'Connell, Nick Delahanty, Bridget Purcell, Alan Heaney, Manix Flynn, Peter Dooley, the legendary Manix Flynn, Laura Lee Doyle, Daniel...
Well, legendary about it. The man doesn't know what he's doing half the time.
Okay, Paul, we leave it at that. Thanks. Teresa, good afternoon. Good afternoon, Teresa. I just don't go with this line when I put forward facts that the turnout... Paul said the turnout was because of poor areas. The government don't want them voting. The turnout in Dublin Bay South was 47%, which would be regarded as one of the most affluent constituencies in the country. So let's try and deal with facts. Teresa... Why? Give me one reason why the turnout was down.
One reason. Bad canvassing, Joe.
Lack of. Okay.
I think a lot of the canvassing was done on social media.
Right, that's true.
Because we certainly saw nobody around here. The canvassing was done in the cities. And on social media.
Okay. And Teresa, was that different to previous elections for you?
Yeah. There would always be a buzz. There was no buzz of election.
No spark. Someone said spark. Buzz or spark.
No spark.
Yeah. Excuse me, Teresa. I'm laryngitis from shouting at the radio and television over again. Teresa. Mostly when Jerry Hutch arrived in the RDS, that was when I was... throwing things at the telly, but anyway, you can't say that. Teresa, and surrounded by who were they? I presume they those security people. They look great. I presume they're employees of the RDS. Teresa, did you vote on Friday? Do you mind me asking?
Oh, yes.
Well done. Sure. And with the weather,
if I didn't vote, Joe, yes. There would be an earthquake in Glasnevin.
Brilliant.
Because all my family, my ancestors would turn in their graves.
So you say there wasn't. You say that you felt there wasn't a buzz, and nobody knocked on your door.
No, nobody. Not one candidate. There was lots of stuff come through the left.
Yeah, of course, loads of stuff. Yeah.
Loads of stuff. Yeah.
Okay, and Teresa, might as well. Were you happy with the outcome or? It's over now. It can't make any difference.
But it's over now, and I suppose the outcome was what was going to be anyway, I think.
Okay.
But I think the trouble is that if we have the same government, we'll have them making the same promises before the next election that they made before this one.
And you don't think, because it was so tight, still tight... and it's still tight, given the largesse of the last 6 months, especially in the payments and the double children's allowance and the new baby allowance and the Christmas bonus and all that carry on. You still think there wasn't a buzz in it, and you still think, do you think, Teresa, that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and whoever they go in with, and it looks like a couple of independents will get them over the line, that they won't learn any lessons from this about housing? That they just have to get up off their proverbial... More has to be done on housing.
Joe, they haven't learned lessons on housing in the past 20 years.
Okay, you follow politics, Teresa. Were you disappointed?
I follow them very closely.
Well done, Joe. Okay. Were you disappointed to see anyone in particular lose their seat? Because that's a hard thing, isn't it?
I was sorry to see the Minister for Health lose his seat.
Stephen Donnelly, yeah.
Yes, because I thought that he had the potential to be a good minister for health. He was asking the right questions.
Okay.
Looking into things, you know. And I was sorry to see him lose his seat.
And he was the head of the... I know there was lots of things. Somebody head of the department that set up the menopause clinics, that free HRT from the 1st of January, free contraception for women. I think it's under 40 now. I know there's always ramps and roadblocks in health. So you were sorry to see Stephen lose his seat.
I was sorry to see him go, okay. And I was sorry for a gentleman in East Cork. He was going up for the first time for election, Mark Stanton. He was contesting his father's seat.
Stanton, yeah.
I was sorry. He hadn't, because his father was cut. And I was sorry to see Mary Linehan Foley wasn't elected in East Cork.
Okay, Cork East. That's Pat Buckley, James O'Connor, the Pat Buckley, Sinn Féin. You know, James O'Connor, Fianna Fáil.
Yeah, he was.
And Noel Carty, Fine Gael, and Liam Quaid. Social Democrats again in. And Mary Linehan Foley is who you're talking about there, are you?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, Teresa, so you say there was just no buzz and people weren't knocking on doors.
There was no buzz and there was no, people feel that there was no promises. You know, they make promises and they don't keep them. And, you know, all the benefits now that have been given, we're going to be facing into an economic problem, I think.
With Trump,
President-elect Trump. Because he has somebody in his cabinet.
Yeah,
cabinet
fine.
Is going to say that, you know, why should Ireland be rolling in money at America's expense? And I think that we could be in trouble with high tariffs.
Yeah, and...
Well, America, you know, and we need somebody strong. I think Micheál Martin is a good person to deal with. President Trump, because he is, he's a long time politician. He has lots of experience, and he's calm.
Okay.
You know, he's calm. He doesn't lose the head.
He sure doesn't. And you know where he probably is today, because I've known him since I've been 22 years of age. He was 22. He was president of UCC student union. I was president of Trinity. He's probably swimming. If you can get a minute, he'll get into the sea in Dunwarly or Cork McSharry. That's how he'll celebrate it. But you're right, he is regarded as very calm. Okay, Teresa, you're right about Trump, because look at the new fella Patel that he's put in as the head of the FBI. First of all, Kash Patel, he put in RFK, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., as health secretary, even though he's sceptical about everything, he doesn't believe. He's put in a head of the FBI, who's written a book saying the FBI are gangsters.
Yeah.
So he can do anything. You're right. He can do anything. Yes. Anything.
And then he's capable of doing anything. And then he's capable of sacking them at the top of the hat. So we don't know.
It's going to be so.
Like,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Okay.
But he had there's no doubt about his election this time.
Okay. Well done, Teresa. Yeah. Fair play to you. Great insight. Finbar Bevan, Finbar. Joe at RT.ie, 51551. Why did so many... Yeah.
Absolutely disagree with the last man you were talking to there, that he wouldn't vote because he's disillusioned. Listen, that is your chance.
That was Eugene,
to vote, to get rid of the person or the people who are in power. Will they ever remember? If they don't know, I'll tell them. Of the 7.25 billion people in the world, 2/3 have no vote, no say whatsoever in how the country is run. Because it's run by all the gangsters and dictators and whatnot. Joe, listen, if you don't vote...
No, but in fairness... hang on, let's go back to what Eugene said, in fairness to him.
Yeah.
Eugene Murphy said, the reason I didn't vote was I saw nothing in any political party that gave me any hope on the housing front. That's what he said. He said, I just didn't see anything.
Okay,
now, maybe he's saying, is he? By not voting, I'm saying to them, what did he say? What did I say one day? A course on all your no houses. And it's to try and bring that, to turn it into action instead of words about housing. Action.
Yeah, you're looking for an excuse why, a reason why people didn't vote last Friday. I mean, Dublin was a disgrace. That's shocking. That is bad. That is bad. All the what our country went through to get us this democracy of voting. Mm. You have the power to vote out the government in your hand. You have this chance every 4 or 5 years. This is your chance. Not voting is not right, in my opinion. You have the chance.
And have you any idea? But have you any idea why 40% of the electorate on the electoral register, which I know is open, but a significant number added their name to the electoral register in the last few weeks. But have you, Annie, from talking to your friends, why did they not vote?
There is a silly reason people give to me and I won't accept it. They're all the same. I hate that excuse. Okay. I hate that reason. They're all the same. No matter who gets in, they'll further their own list. I'm listening to that all my life and I'm 80 years of age. I never... I don't think I ever miss an election of any kind because I believe that one day I have the authority, the power to take a seat off of someone and I can do it. And it's going on in Cork at the moment.
And there's loads of examples of people either winning a seat by one vote, Holly Cairns, losing a seat by one vote, Dick Spring going back a couple of decades.
So anyone is a local man here, he lost a seat one time by 6 votes.
Every vote makes a difference, yeah.
Yeah, Mick Barry is fighting for his seat. Last seat in Cork, he's 35 votes behind. Do you understand I'm talking about? That's the power of your vote.
Oh, yeah. And especially in Ireland, with your transfers, which are, if you go 1-2, your 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th preference can make a difference. Now, normally you say your most... valuable is 1-2-3, depending on the number of seats. But we have got a PR system, which they don't have in the UK. In the UK. Okay, Finbar, Joe at RT.ie. Thank you, Margaret Finbar. Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Robbie is in Dublin. We're asking people about the turnout. 44 out of 10 people on the electoral register didn't vote, which is the highest, the highest ever. Turnout even. Robbie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Why?
I suppose you asked that lady there one answer. There is no one answer, really.
Of course, not. Give me one word and then we'll go.
It's a sum of all the parts, I think, Joe. You know, there's apathy. You know, they're all the same, as that other gentleman says as well. I think the Friday voting may have something to do with that. I think the Saturday voting should be something that we should look at. There was a figure there that was quite interesting over the weekend on RTE, that the over 50s turned out and the 18 to 35s didn't really turn out. So that's something that maybe needs to be looked at as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've got young daughters in my house, so one of them's eligible to vote, and I think something like one out of nine of her friends voted, you know.
Yeah, but I was talking just Robbie, can I just, given the housing issue and given how big it is between 18-24, 18-35, okay, that age group who can all vote, 41% in the exit poll of 18-24-year-olds said housing was the biggest issue.
Yeah.
42% between 18-25 and 34 in the exit poll said housing was the biggest issue. Now, it dropped as you went on. But, housing was such a big issue. And by the way, when I was going in at 8 o'clock on Friday morning, I got it completely wrong. I thought it was going to be a massive turnout because the place I go to in Clontarf was deluged, much bigger than I've ever been there. But I was struck by the number of young people in their 20s that were going in to vote. And I thought the turnout...
Yeah,
I haven't seen the actual breakdown of numbers and demographics, but generally you're right.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen the overall figure myself, but seemingly the over 50s did turn out twice. I think it was something like 2-1 compared to the 18 to 35s, which for me was a bit of a surprise now, because this was the election where they kind of had their own voice, their opinion, because of the housing issue, as you said, you know, and they didn't seem to. But again, maybe it comes down to a lot of them are college students who are school in Dublin, living in Galway or something. You know, I'm not making excuses.
So Saturday might be a better day.
the Saturday. Yeah, I mean, look, if 5 to 7% of those 18 to 35 turned out, what the opinion polls tell us that I think Sinn Féin got something like 37% of the 18 to 35 vote. You know, and so maybe if they turned out, we'd probably be having a different conversation than the one we are today. But
and what about postal, Robbie? Do you think postal voting would make a difference? That's coming up now, Carl.
Yeah, it's not something that I've ever had.
Well, we're way behind in this country, you know, compared to other countries.
Yeah, and I think anything that can get us to get the increased vote up, I'm all for. You know what I mean? So absolutely. Look, I mean, the thing is, when we look at it, some of the areas like Rathdown and Dublin Bay South are two of the most affluent. Mm-hmm. If you want to go by house prices, they're the two most affluent constituencies in Ireland. You know, but there was, I remember going back a while ago, and it was in the north inner city for a local election. And it does come down to the apathy within some of the work-class areas, because it is a fact. When you've got Mary Lou MacDonald and you've got Pascal Donoghue, two of the biggest names in Irish politics, in that constituency, it was 14% turnout in a local election. 14. You know?
And the local
that tells you something. Something's not right there somewhere. And the local elections, you're always looking in between 35 and 43% turnout for a local election, which is terrible. You know, it's terrible. Like, even 59%, like, I'm originally from Dublin South Central, and that was only a 49% turnout. And I'm living in Dublin Midwest, which was normally always one of the highest turnout in the country. And that was on par with the turnout this year as well. So something somewhere is not right, and it's not sitting right with people. And I know that the lad from down there says that, you know, the things that the government are happy that they don't turn out and all this malarkey. Like, you know, there's all different kind of things people say. But the lower the turnout normally does support the government. You know what I mean? They get their people out to vote, and they make sure that the wheels are in motion for them to get their votes.
I don't. I think the contention was that they almost deliberately try and suppress the vote. They don't. We have an electoral commission, funded by the taxpayer, but an extraordinarily well-funded electoral commission that were everywhere in terms of. Okay, Robbie, go to meet the market.
I'm not saying that the turnout was the government's fault. Like you said, the point was made that a lot of people, additional people, signed on to the electoral register.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the electoral commission has a look into those people who registered and didn't vote and have a look at the age demographic, maybe it might tell them something.
And maybe given, unless there's something dramatic, again, I hate using this word because it's meaningless, but unless there's something radical done on housing, I think that was one of the big, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are obviously back in, but whatever combination of, and if they haven't learned the lesson of, I know they would say we know and we're doing our best, but it's the big issue, especially among young people. Okay, Robbie, good to meet you, Margaret. Joan O'Shea, Joan.
Hello, how are you?
Okay, why did people not vote, do you think?
I think people are just sick of government lying to us, basically. You know, we get to an election, they promise us the earth, moon and stars and deliver nothing. We
nothing.
Have that down in our area.
They deliver nothing.
Well, I know we're supposed to be one of the wealthiest countries in the world.
We're not supposed, we are.
But we don't know that. Our kids have no houses. You go to a hospital, you're sitting there for 24 to 36 hours. You can't get into the local doctor. Like, how's that? How are we the wealthiest country in the world? I live in Waterford. We have no 24/7 cardiac care.
We've covered it here a number of times. Yeah, I know it well.
You have to go to Cork. How is that the wealthiest country in the world? I'm totally disillusioned with politics in Ireland, and I'm very upset after the weekend, because I feel our voting system is all wrong.
Okay.
So the people who get the number one preference vote in certain areas, they're not the people who actually get into power. It's the people who get in on the 7th, 8th and 9th
But that's a much better system than the UK, where it's first past the post. And you can have a party like the Tories, or indeed the Labour Party, with 27, 28% of the vote, and you end up with 52% of the seats. Whereas here, it's fairly. It's not exact, but it's fairly reflective of the outcome, and that's why people again and again in this country, Joan, have refused. They've been asked to do it. The last time I think it was 76, 77. Do you want to get rid of PR for the single first past the post? And they said resoundingly on two occasions, no. It's the best we have and the best. That's the one we want. So I don't think the voting system is going to change very soon, Joan.
That's entirely your opinion. But no, you ask me why I think people are totally disillusioned with politics and government in Ireland.
Okay.
Totally.
And will you canvass at all, Joan?
No, I don't. Nobody, I don't, I'm not part of any political party.
No, I don't mean, no, will you, someone knock on your door and say...
No one came to my door.
Okay. Was there a spark in the... Who was it earlier on? Was it Theresa saying there was no spark in the election? No buzz. She said.
No buzz. Absolutely, I'd agree. But I do think, certainly where I live, you know, I was delighted about certain parties that got obliterated because I voted for them last election. I thought the Green Party were going to do great things for us. And all they did was taxes. And, you know, the wages aren't going up. People need to realise that. People are really struggling.
Yeah. Well, the cost of living was I think, the second most significant topic for a lot of people after housing.
But I have to say, Joe, I plead with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, please listen to your people. We need houses. We need the HSE sorted out. It needs to be sorted out. You can't keep throwing money at something that's not working.
Yeah, well, Simon Harris said that, didn't he, in one of the debates?
Well, sure, that's great. Simon Harris said it, but what did he do about it?
He said the issue as well. Nothing. He said, he probably said...
He did nothing.
I've only been 7 months as TD. But anyway, I know people say, well, then you were Minister of Health, and then I'm like, okay. Okay.
Well, he was the Minister of Health.
He was, yeah. Okay. I'm trying to go back over... the manifesto to see the I don't know whether you looked at the manifestos. They're available there in PDF. Did any of them mention Waterford and the cardiac service? I know a lot of them said Waterford in terms of waiting times, in terms of A&E has improved dramatically. Waterford University Hospital has improved dramatically, and that's accepted by a lot of people as an example. David Bergen, David, sorry for holding you there. David.
No problem. Thank you. Joe, I believe that the election there, it was rushed. They should have left it until the end of January or the beginning of February. Okay. And I think more people would have come out. Secondly, I had two canvassers at the door, AIM2 and the Social Democrats. Uh-huh. They were the only people who really asked for my vote.
Yeah.
And maybe I wouldn't have known an awful lot about AIM2 because they had the interest in coming out and knocking at the door. They got, I voted for them. So, I don't know that.
So you're saying the personal approach made a difference.
It's very important.
Okay.
I was littered with documentation or the vote of the candidates. None of the top candidates, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, any of them have knocked at the door and asked my vote. And that was one of the big problems. Secondly, people did say if it's very cold, people said they're getting old, they don't want to go out there in the cold. Okay. Maybe they've got to walk 2 kilometres to a polling station. You know, I mean, if you're 20 or 30, there's no problem.
So would a postal vote make a difference?
A postal vote, yeah, but can it be manipulated? That's the big problem. Vladimir Putin did a lot of manipulation there with votes like that.
But in the world we live in the world we live in with verifications, air codes, specific ID numbers, PPS numbers, PPS ID cards, photographic ID cards, surely we should be able to secure a postal vote better than, obviously it's never been an issue in this country, unfortunately. It did come up in this programme from day one that there is not enough people eligible for a postal vote. But if someone, you suggested someone that can't do the 2 miles, totally understandably because of age or infirmity or whatever, maybe they should be allowed a postal vote.
Maybe they most certainly so. And hospitals and nursing homes. We have a tremendous
nursing homes are allowed.
I wasn't aware.
I know a lot
that,
of people.
No.
Say, I saw photographs of a Garda and an electoral official, county council obviously, with a ballot box in a nursing home. I saw photographs in the paper. And that to me was unusual, but apparently it's totally allowable, totally allowable. But a lot of nursing homes didn't apply for it.
But that's the way it should be, Joe.
Yeah, here, here.
And there were a lot of votes going back, people 70s, 80s, 90s, and, you know, who would go, always go out to vote. Maybe they have some sort of infirmity, they're in crutches. Yeah. And they just can't make it to the polling station. So maybe that idea of having postal votes might be a good idea.
Well, okay, as I say, I came up here from day one, and I was quite surprised by the number of people who thought the lead-in was too short, that they didn't, that they should have had they planned to go away or whatever. And they should have had a post. Okay, David Bergen, good to meet you, good day. Joe at RT.ie, Father Iggy O'Donovan. Iggy, sorry for holding you. You have a confession to make.
I was just listening there to the discussion. I wasn't altogether surprised Joe at the decline, because it's more or less, it's a 40-year trend. It's been going down ever since the heydays of the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been down, it made its way through the 70s, down into the 60s, and now for the first time has gone below 60. Now, in answer there, somebody said about the gentleman about maybe not going out in the cold. Ironically, the highest turnout we ever had was in the 80s on one occasion, which was in the hungry 30s, when it went above 80% in a January blizzard.
Wow.
So that is the highest ever turnout when people went with their donkeys and carts from mountain sides. You know, it was really, and in the hungry 30s, so it was nothing to do with being the wealthiest country or feeling not the wealthiest. We were never worse than at that stage. But my Joe, I think what has happened, really part of it, is that there was in Irish politics certainly an old passion, if you like. Now, much of it unfortunately came from the Civil War period and so forth, and Dev versus his opponents. But what it did do was create a passion, and that certainly has gone out. Like, for example, we held two elections during the Second World War. Believe it or not, during the war, we held two elections. And we were in the high 70s both times, the turnout. And since the heyday of Garrett and Charlie in the 80s, it has been on the way down. So that every Taoiseach since Albert Reynolds and Bertie and John Bruton and the lot. So I don't know if it's any particular person's fault.
And one difference, and you're hitting on it there, when you mentioned Civil War, and I know people think that's such a... But isn't this the first election where people knew categorically that a vote for Fianna Fáil was also a vote for Fine Gael and vice versa? That there was no doubt beforehand. Micheál said the previous time, no Fine Gael or whatever, but this time, clearly, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, it was quite obvious. Okay, they had their phony war and everything for the first 10 days, but it was clear that a vote for Micheál was a vote for Simon, and a vote for Simon was a vote for Micheál. And that's never never happened. Can you imagine me saying to you, again, you're of an age and I am, that a vote for Garrett is a vote for Charlie? You would keel over.
Yeah, my former
vice versa
could no more have voted for an opponent. He was on the Republican side, Dev's side, but he could no more have he wouldn't have gone into a voting station with the Virgin Mary to vote for Fine Gael. He couldn't. But okay. And it was vice versa.
But that's changed.
But
now.
That has changed.
2024 took us 100 years.
Ever since, you take people like Bertie and take people like Micheál and Simon and so forth, none of them are Civil War people. So that feeling is gone. The other thing then is there's sort of the coming together. If you look at even the three leaders debate the other night, the promises, okay, there's little variations here and there, but essentially the promises and the largesse and the handouts would be largely the same. And I think that's part of the thing, Joe, that whatever was said about the old Civil War politics, it sort of it created a passion, it created a sort of a visceral feeling, and the FFR was an FFR as opposed to their opponents. But ever since the 80s, certainly, since Charlie and Garrett moved on, I think it has gone down all the time. And then we had things like the Northern Agreement and the Good Friday and so forth. So a lot of the old passion and emotionalism went. And I'm delighted that people like John Bruton and Bertie and Garrett managed much of that. That's great. But we haven't really probably replaced it with anything. That's the point. A bit like, you know, that...
Well, people, you know, the argument is that the Civil War split should be replaced, in terms of politics, should be replaced by a class, should by a left-right shift left, or whatever. Right. That isn't there.
But if you have 10 party leaders
in a debate in a country as small as ours, rightly so, they're all legitimately... We're legitimately there. That tells us something as well. Okay, Father Iggy, thanks. Thanks indeed. Okay. Joe at RT.ie 51551 0818 715 815.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie, Gerard is in Rathfarnham. Gerard, you say Black Friday. Well, it was Black Friday for the Greens, but you say Black Friday itself made a difference.
Well, it was one of the reasons, Joe. I think I could be wrong in this assessment, but the Black Friday, plus the fact that most people, well, a lot of people are being paid on the last Friday of the month.
Okay.
And as a result, because I know from asking several young people in particular, no, I couldn't be bothered voting. I only get paid at the end of the month, and I.
Yeah, but but the voting on Friday, Gerard, was from 7 a.m. till 10 at night. That's 15 hours. They're hardly spending their money all day. They wouldn't have enough.
No, I realise that, but what they do is they go out in the evening time. Most people and the voting cards are with their. They're either with their parents, not rather than with their parents,
And they don't get them. They don't collect their vote. But you can vote without a voting card.
Yes, but I think this is my view. I think that was the reason of the low turnout, particularly from the young people, is the fact is that they get paid once a month.
Jared, will they get a grip? I know snowflakes. They get paid once a month. Come with me on this now for a minute. Have you got sons, daughters?
I do.
I've
three sons who their cards are in my house and they never collected them. And I said, he's coming down to vote. We're going out shopping. So that was the answer straight out.
They could have voted without their card. They could have gone in with ID.
I know, but three of them never came down to vote in the local voting office.
Don't be hard on them now. Don't be hard on them now.
No, I'm not hard.
Maybe they might learn the next time. But like, and if you were to ask them, lads, what is the biggest issue affecting you? Is it housing?
Yes. Yeah. Housing is the ultimate, and it affects everybody from employment, socially and...
Absolutely. Mentally.
You know.
Everything.
Yeah, mentally.
Yeah. Happily, you know, yeah.
Housing is... And what the government should do is, when they're drawing up their plans for expenditure of money, they should have a... instead of ploughing the money into various major projects, have one project for 2 years or 3 years and put all the resources into that particular and at least make a good dent in the housing.
Yeah, they need to, right. I know they're saying, and Dublin at the minute, Dublin's what I can talk about is like a hedgehog with tower cranes building apartments, but hopefully it will make a difference. Gerard, you have three great sons, Gerard. Don't forget that.
I appreciate that. I know they do. Okay. It's just...
we'll say to maybe the next time. And the next time probably won't be 5 years, given the way the numbers have fallen and the way Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are just going to rely on a small group of independents who are not going to rock the boat. They don't want another election within the 5 years. They're probably, some of them may even be of an age they're going to retire in 5 years, so they won't rock the boat. So the next election looks like it'll be 5 years away on those numbers. Gerard, Gurumila Mahagat, Anne Garavin in Mayo. Anne, sorry for holding you. Anne, why? Why?
Not at all. Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay.
Well, I want to be very cross here and say, shame on anybody who did not vote.
Okay. Did you ever look at the South Africans? The queues go for miles and miles and miles. It's a wonderful thing to have, is your vote.
Okay.
Now,
what would happen?
Three reasons why, I think. First of all, it has to be on a Sunday. It's got to be a family day out, plus students who could come down on the Sunday and go back on the Sunday night. More convenient. It has to be on a Sunday because it's a day where families would walk in together, etc. Another reason is empathy. Yes, but that's no excuse, because if our politicians who are fighting to go against the government have that emotion, there'd be no opposition to the government. So come here to me, people. Hold that back. A third reason is, and you might find this unusual, Joe, there are parties who should be respected for their parties, but sometimes a personality comes into it, and a person might say, oh, I don't like so-and-so, no, I'm not going to vote. Now, that can happen. It's a human thing, and that can happen instead of thinking, who are they representing? Now, I might add in here, when Ryan was telling us all about climate change, we weren't glued in to climate change on the world stage that much at that time. But he highlighted the whole green, and I think it's very sad that they didn't get one
well, they've won Roderick O'Gorman, one seat.
Yes, and at the end of the day, that's the very important thing. But now, can I finish off with this, Joe? I'm 86, and I went in to vote locally, and I tell you, it's a wonderful day out. I met people I hadn't met pre-COVID.
Brilliant.
Were alive. I'd be afraid if I didn't vote, people would think I had died. So I went in, and you know what I mean? Oh, sure, she must have passed off eventually. Not in your life.
But Anne, your contribution, I know you've said many things, but primarily it is why, unlike so many other countries, including France, Central Europe, why don't we vote on a Sunday?
It's imperative. It's a day of, as years ago,
everyone would be home. Our student population, is much bigger than it was even 40, much bigger than it was 40 years ago. Third level students who can vote. And what was the opposition before? I presume it was the church day of rest. I presume if Mayo were playing ever again in Croke Park, Kerry said.
But would
the people in Mayo, if the vote was on a Sunday, the people in Mayo say we either make a choice between the vote for Michael Ring, who's gone now, but he was such a vote catcher, vote for Michael or go to the match.
Oh, I think, sorry, Michael, we go to the match. And I like, there's nobody like Michael Ring. He's a great fella. But I think, I think if he was...
Okay,
if
so we you're plumping for Sunday.
Think
about Sunday. Maybe the Electoral Commission, who are, I know they're doing loads of surveys, they're doing another survey. Maybe they should do an opinion poll on, would you prefer, the idea came from Anne Garavan in County Mayo, would you prefer to vote on a Sunday? Okay, Anne, go to meet a market. Please, Anne, please. Make sure you turn out the next time, because I'd be worried about you if I don't see you down at the polling station in Westport or whatever, casting your vote. Anne Garavan, go to market. Joe.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Why didn't Mary's in Tipperary?
Hello, how are you doing?
And I think what you're going to say, looking at the screen, represents a lot of other people as well. Mary, tell us why four out of six in your house
four
didn't...
four kids between 23 and 28.
Okay.
And three live abroad and one is in university in Galway and couldn't get down to vote. I do appreciate somebody said to me, why don't you get her to register up there? But I just think that there's an avenue here, like, and that a lot of, like, I'm just one family, but I do know of kids who are going up and down from other parts of the country. They're driving down to university, driving back home, wouldn't have made it back in time. But I don't see why the universities don't have a system where they can vote for their local constituency if it's done in advance. That there must, there should be some avenue.
Or they can register in Dublin. They can register in Dublin if they have an address around the city. So would Saturday or Sunday make a difference?
It might or might not, because for a lot of people they work. They have jobs. So it may not be their permanent address where they're living in at a university, but it is, and they might want to vote for their local politicians, etc., you know. So
that's true.
You know, that's the thing you have to be conscious of.
Well, what about Anne Garavan's suggestion? We should at least survey the idea of Sunday voting.
Yeah, well, I was also wondering, like, there's an opportunity here to capture this information on the census. Like, we should be trying to collate why this is happening. And, like, the type of lives we're living now is very different. We've got a huge, like, I've got three living abroad. I've got one actually studying in Paris, studying international security, and done her undergrad in politics and stuff. And she, you know, she's been looking, but she couldn't vote.
If they had a postal vote, are they Irish citizens and Irish passport holders?
Yes.
If they had a postal vote, would that make a difference, I wonder?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. They all would have loved to have had the post. And especially because we've just had the American elections, and I was listening to friends and colleagues around that I work with who had their postal vote for America and done it. And I suppose our islands get to vote through
beforehand,
a postal system.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's 2024. So
yeah, exactly.
We should be able to do that.
Says it all, Mary. It's 2024. Yeah. We've enough imagination, enough technology, enough creativity, enough forms of contacting each other that it should be easier to vote. Should be.
As I say, that was a man was saying about Black Friday and people purchasing. I'm sure people were purchasing from stuff all over the world to get to them on Friday. They should have been able to make their vote as well, you know.
Yeah. So. Okay, thanks. Yeah. Thanks to the American.
Anyway,
kind regards.
Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for making the call. Kind regards to your family abroad. Now, Michael, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Nursing homes again. Good, Michael. Nursing homes. You have a recollection.
Just local, Joe.
Yeah.
If you were a supporter of Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael, going back up to a few years ago, and if you, when they come around canvassing, they'd ask you, did you want to lift to the polling station? And if you were old or something wrong with you, they would send a car. They would ask you what time you want to go at. And they would send a volunteer in the car.
Yeah, but Michael, was that not in the days, as Iggy O'Donovan said earlier, was that not in the days when Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil were at each other's throats? Now they're arm in arm.
That is true.
Now they're arm in arm.
That is true. Now they're arm in arm, and no one else. There was only the three parties here that time, and a lot of people went out in the cars. They gave a lot of people lift out, and they came back. And I'd just like to say, Joe, that here in Kilkenny.
Well, I heard Micheál Martin's son, the footballer, Micheál, you saw him there. There's two sons with Aaron, his daughter and Mary, in the count centre. But I saw Micheál being interviewed, and he said he collected people on Friday.
Good.
Yeah, to bring. Well, it still happens.
But someone was saying there, no one knocked at the door. We only had a Sinn Féin where I live now. Built up area where we only had Sinn Féin and Fine Gael knocking the door.
Okay.
And I just like to say, Joe, that Cara Kilkenny, three women got in Cara Kilkenny.
Fantastic.
And in Cara here for the last 2 years, we'd only one TD, four in Kilkenny. So we got a second TD here. And nearly got two Sinn Féin TDs in.
Okay. And Carla Kilkenny is a five-seater, so that helps in terms of numbers. Okay, good, Emile Michael. Where's Valerie? Valerie, sorry for holding you.
Hi, Joe. How are you? I won't keep you very long, Joe.
No, grand, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Joe, just a point. You've touched on a couple of things. Some of the people have covered them already.
No worries.
About the seizures. Now, one thing I noticed in this area here and hasn't been raised is the boundaries, Joe, were all divided up.
Okay.
And nobody knew, nobody, including myself from my own jurisdiction, didn't know a lot of the candidates. And, they came around and I'd never heard. I would have been used to the more recent candidates, the more like reliable ones. And all these new people came, and to be honest with you, they weren't really from my area. They were from another jurisdiction. So that would have been a feature of the low turnout, the dividing up of the boundaries. And a lot of people would have said, oh, sure, I don't know him, I don't know her, so why would I be bothered voting for them? So that was a big factor. Now, I was working at the election in the Fingal area, and I had a fairly good turnout in my polling station, so I have a lot of kind of experience. And another thing too, one more point, was the people, when they change address, they forget to register their new address details. So they can rock up, if they were one time maybe living in Clontarf, they go to the Clontarf and then they find they can't vote. And they're living maybe out in maybe Sandymount. So in actual fact, that is a big problem, that they don't register their new address in order to vote in the current elections that are coming up. So the boundaries and the address was a major thing I found.
Okay. Thanks indeed, Valerie. Good to meet you, Maga Joe. RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Remember, we want your self-published books. Send us in a copy if you want to get in with the possibility of it being reviewed on Christmas week. To Joe at RT Dublin 4 and affix your name and contact details firmly to the book, not to the envelope, to the book. Marie, good afternoon. You're reacting to Joan earlier on, Carlo Kilkenny, saying she didn't vote because it wouldn't make a difference and nothing has happened. You want to contest?
Are you speaking to me? Actually?
Yes, I am, Marie.
Yeah, I just wanted to make the point that the lady was saying that the government's doing nothing, and I just made the point there that I could be here for the rest of the day really saying that while governments don't do everything, and obviously it's not possible to do everything in a five-year span anyway, but houses are being built, there might be enough of them for everybody, as well as that. A lot of, in our own local area, maybe not in the countryside, local school got two great extensions recently, cost of 5.2 million, great assets to the community in the little village. And two primary schools in the area also enjoy the same benefits. Mm. Same like with the GA pitches. I won't go to the hospital in that Limerick area, but everything isn't bad. But I could be here for the day really, like saying that things get done by whatever government. Now, next point. Maybe I will stick with the three very short things. My own thing about the lady, I forget which lady it was, said that nobody called and they showed the reason.
Yeah, canvas,
But it's up to people to make it more exciting. Okay. Get out and support the candidates.
And you also say, I think John said people 36 there, I know people have different experiences, but I haven't heard that long in a long time. You say you have an example of your daughter in and out, Tala.
That was the one I really felt strongly about.
Okay, and you were in and out, how long?
It was a grandchild, actually. Okay. He was taken into the hospital, I would say about 2 o'clock, with a really bad gash over the eye, barely missed the actual eye itself, and he was bleeding and it was a mess, and he was a little bit upset he's not even three.
Okay.
He was out again in 2 hours with this gluing, I think they call it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, 2 hours, which is great.
And all that, and I'm not just saying it. Very happy little boy coming out, and his parents were very happy too.
Well, you know, which is great, and it's important to say that because I'm...
Just to say that it was a great experience for the child. He came out with a lovely little teddy bear with TLC on it, and he's very fond of it.
Yes, okay.
Lovely lady doctor, I don't know names or anything. Lovely little play area.
Okay. And I, you,
so
see,
what more could you ask?
You see, you remind me. Yes, you remind me, Marie, of Pascal Donoghue, who's the minister, yesterday in the RDS when he was asked to react to what I think it was Jim Sheridan who was going on about the monks' vote, and it was about anger and inner city getting nothing. And Pascal went on. He said two new schools, desh schools, to get hot breakfast, hot lunch, homework clubs. Two a brand new primary care centre, probably the best in the country, free books, free meals, and specific attention to trying to get people into third level. The best new playground in the country is all in the inner city, and there's loads of different things. But Pascal, being this superb politician he is, he said in answer to when people say the inner city gets nothing, he said, we know there is more to be done. There is more to be done. Gerry Kelly, quickly, Gerry.
Hello, Joe. I have a staggering statistic.
Good
for
lad,
you.
Good
I
lad. Hang on, I get me pen and paper. Them, but anyway, and me stubby pencil. Yes.
100% of the electorate love to moan.
Yes.
60% of the electorate love to moan and vote.
Yes.
And 40% of the electorate love to moan only.
Okay, good man. Good moan. Good moan, Gerry. Patrick in Mayo. Patrick.
Joe, how are you? Thanks for taking the call. Thanks for having me.
Pure disillusion.
To an extent, yeah. But look, I think a lot of the problem is we've been promised this, we've been promised that. Yeah. And look, I want to congratulate all the politicians that get in.
Yeah, okay.
Come there's a ray with all the things that didn't get in. But like, I think the major problem is, I'm not sure about the statistics, but it was the 18 to 34-year-olds didn't vote. Because it's the cost of living, number one.
Yeah.
The cost, the health and the housing, it's a major thing. Like, I'm a truck driver. The price of fuel, the price of the tolls, they're being robbed. I was listening to a gentleman.
Truck
there
drivers, why aren't truck drivers, especially in the Republic, because they don't exist in Northern Ireland, there's one or two in the UK, why are truck drivers in Ireland, small companies, not kicking up about the tolls? They are extortionate. And they're going up again. Why aren't they? And the cost of living, another state agency today put up the cost of living by 10% by putting, and by the way, not at the behest of the taxi drivers, put up by 10%. Every can and bottle you bought since 1st of January last year has gone up by either 15 or 25 at the behest of the government. Nobody, they could, anyway. Anyway, your opportunity to have your say was on Friday in one sense. I know it's not to be all and end all.
Yeah. Look, unfortunately, it's just the way things are in the country at the minute. But
we're told they're very good and they're getting better. We're told the health system per capita is the best funded health system in all of Europe.
Yeah. Fair enough, and I take your point. But Joe, right, number one there, I'm just going to mention the Children's Hospital there, right?
Okay, don't mention Children's Hospital. No, leave it. Bye-bye. I'm not being rude, I'm over time, but if I hear this Children's Hospital mentioned one more time, or the bicycle shed, I will have a slight mild TIA or something. Now, the Children's Hospital, please God, this year, this time next year, better be open, and it will be, hopefully be the best in the world, and we'll all be proud of it. I hope. Thank you. So many people didn't get in. Apologies. Mark McGrath Sound, broadcast coordinator Shane Galvin, producer Sean O'Gorman, and Ray Darcy is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Warm up your home this winter with this season's new cozy bedding, in store and online at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.